jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to philosophy.
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
What's up?
What's up? We're back again with another episode of philosophy here, Corona edition, episode 2, still in lockdown. How's everyone doing?
Good. Still smiling. Well.
Yeah.
starting to accept the fact that I really miss being on the mats.
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing is that it looks like it's going to continue. I don't know. I guess depending on who you listen to, who you hear it from, but there's a possibility that this is going to happen for quite some time.
Looking that way. I've gone past the stage of worrying about forgetting stuff, and now it's like the actual beneficial effects it has just from rolling.
Yeah.
The release, the fitness, the cardio, the presence, the in the moment.
Totally. I think we're all probably going a little. Yeah, I'm sure we're all going a little bit crazy at this point in time. What about you, Iki? How's it going?
Not same, man. It's the routine of it, right? Also, like pretty much waking up, and I gotta say, I wake up the same time, and it's just like okay, get up, trying to do something, but it's not the same, man.
Yeah,
it's not the same at all.
It's definitely not the same, but I don't know. Hopefully, we all fall into some sort of routine, and we can try and use this time, like we talked about in the last episode, to help better ourselves in some way.
Absolutely.
How did you guys find, like, since last episode, like being at home? Like, did you find that you managed to work out hard and also like learn a lot?
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead, Ollie.
I've realized something that I am. I'm either all in or nothing. Like, I really can't do half measures. Like, yeah. John, you were showing me doing the drills with like the belt and stuff like that. I think I did it for a day, and I was like, it's just not the same. I'm either in the gym every day, rolling and sparring, or like I really struggle to find that anything in between.
Yeah.
And same with the workouts. I'm now working out maybe 3 times a day. So getting up with my girlfriend and doing like a cardio HIIT session, doing weights like at lunch, and then doing the online classes with Louise in the evening.
Not nice. So, like, you're beating me.
I'm fully in.
Yeah. I thought I was doing pretty well. Like, I have a bit of a schedule where around lunchtime I found these really good videos online on YouTube. A guy runs a channel where he does what BJJ workout of the day, BJJ WOD. And on paper, you look at it and it's like, how hard can it be?
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be like 4 rounds as fast as you can of whatever. What's cool about it is that they involve jiu-jitsu movements, you know, sit-throughs or something along those lines that are body weight. And like I said, when you look at it, you're like, I'm going to fly through this. And then you get to about round 2 and you're just like, you're completely sucking wind.
100%.
Yeah.
I think everyone thinks like a home workout is inferior. And you do look at it and you're like, do this consistently for a minute, followed by another minute. And then it's like total 6 minutes. And you're like, easy. And then it's so true. Like midway through, you're like, this is nuts.
I'll do it in our bedroom. And, you know, Rosie, my girlfriend, will be out in the living room area. And I'll come out and I'll be like, and she'll be like, I thought you were in shape. And I'm like, I thought so too, but I guess not. But yeah, so I've been doing those during lunchtime. Every day at lunch, I'll do that. That takes about half an hour. And then I'll go for a little isolated walk around our community just to get some sunshine. It's been pretty nice weather in my area. I don't know about you guys. It's been really nice weather.
That's true. It's like the weather knew that like everybody's gonna be inside and I'm gonna just come shine. it's crazy, man. Like, as soon as like it was announced the lockdown, I've just been looking at the most beautiful sun out of my window. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that the sun decided to show itself during this time. But yeah, I've been doing those workouts during lunch, and then around 5:30, when I'm done technically working for the day, I'll do like 20 to 30 minutes of yoga. And I've legitimately kept that up for the past two and a half weeks, and I feel really good actually for doing it, especially the yoga. I think the lunchtime workout sessions are good because I don't feel like I'm losing much cardio. I don't feel like a fat slob from that. And then the yoga in the evening is making my body feel very, very loose and like strong at the same time. I never thought about yoga as being something that would strengthen me, but a lot of the positions that the yoga classes I'm doing are putting me in are really like improving my balance and my core strength, just staying in these very uncomfortable, unnatural for me positions. So it's been, I definitely feel like I'm going upwards as far as using this time. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, man, for sure. Eki, have you been doing your solo takedown drills?
Yeah, man, actually every day. And you know, I actually found that, so I go for runs and I do like, a lot of like push-ups, squats, and burpees. Like I'll try to hit a minimum of 100 each, and then like but like with the time, and just trying to get better with the time of each. And like at the end of this week, I was looking in the mirror, I was like, oh my god, I felt like I was being negligent about my strength training before, or like just putting that effort into like calisthenics like that. Because of jiu-jitsu, maybe I was thinking like, I do cardio already, or I don't need to push as hard on this. And now that I don't have anything else, that's literally where I've been putting a lot of effort. And then yoga also every day. It's like first thing in the morning. And then that's be good. So it's like yoga, go for a run, and then takedowns. And I noticed that my takedowns are getting better because I have to do the takedowns on the grass. So my shooting is getting better because I can't just like shoot however I want and just not go as low because my knee is going to hit the grass, right? So it's like I've just been more cautious. Yeah, and that's been a lot of fun.
Bro, the only reason your takedowns are getting better is because you're not actually taking anyone down. So in your head, you're like, 2 points.
That's true.
So here's a good question. Here's a good question for you guys. What is the most embarrassing thing you've done to try to recreate some sort of jiu-jitsu drills since being in isolation?
Oh, bro, I've got 60-pound mats coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, Eki?
If you just listen to the podcast, and this is not on YouTube, I gotta bring this on. So I made
Eki's getting it.
I was literally playing with it this morning, doing arm bars. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Okay, the feeling's coming out of shit.
Oh, that's
been Fred. Like a lot of fun.
Didn't you name him Fred?
Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. Sorry, Jeff. Hey, Jeff. Yeah. Got a special guest on the podcast this week, Jeff.
Yeah, special guest on the podcast. He's kind of an introvert. He won't speak too much, but...
That's all right. Yeah. Oh, man.
Johnny, when's your grappling dummy arriving?
Man, so here's the thing. I haven't actually ordered one yet. I keep going back and forth. I'm like... Because I did a similar thing to you, Eki. I made a Jeff as well. For those that aren't...
Oh.
For those that aren't watching the actual... visual version of the podcast, if you will. Eki stuffed his gi with pillows and clothes and stuff like that to make Jeff. So I made like a version of Jeff myself. I took a rash guard, I filled it up with clothes, and then stuck it inside of a gi. And similar with like the pants, I filled spats with clothes and then put that in gi pants. And so yeah, I've got my own version of Jeff. And it's just like, it doesn't do much for me. I've never been a guy who's going to go and do like arm bar drills. It's just not my thing. You know, maybe I should, but it's just not my thing. Like, I think the best you can do with a Jeff type character is a lot of like top drills. It's very difficult for like a guard person like myself. Like, if I'm going to take the time to drill anything, it's going to be like guard stuff. And I haven't had much success with Jeff. So I'm wondering if I'd have much success with like a real grappling dummy. What I like about the grappling dummy is that like the knees actually bend, you know, as if somebody were in your closed guard and sitting on their knee.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool. Whereas you can't do that with a Jeff.
So I actually was trying to, this morning I was trying to see how can I do that with the Jeff, because I think I have to put something harder inside of his, almost like
what are we talking about? What has happened?
I was ignoring it.
what have we resorted to? Like, we're stuffing geese with pillows, and like this is.
So like, because the other day I was trying to do something, but I realized this was just stupid. I stuffed up the pants, and I was just trying to drill single legs with stuffed pants, and I was like, this is ridiculous.
Oh my god! This is like refugee camp for Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so sad. But I don't know. I'm like on the fence as to whether or not I want to buy a real Jeff.
The thing is, yeah, man, like, it's never going to be as good as the real thing, right?
No, never.
But in this current climate, like, it's probably the best of a lot of bad options. Jeff probably being the worst of those options.
Yeah, it's true. But it's like, for 60 pounds... You know, am I going to use it once and then be like, all right, this is stupid. Let me go back to, drills with my belt and things like that.
Yeah, I think the thing that clinched it for me with the mats was, like, if this does just drag on for ages, even if I can't get anyone round and I can't actually drill, like, specific jiu-jitsu stuff, what I can do is just work on my movement. And having that space, like, is, if I really do actually go out and do it, should be beneficial. However, my girlfriend has agreed to 2, maybe 3 times a week to come out and do some stupid stuff with me. So
that's so good. Yeah, I tried my first teaching session with my girlfriend the other day, and she took it in a little bit, but I just don't think she feels the power, the love of jiu-jitsu. Yeah, you know, she was just doing it to make me happy, which was super nice of her.
Yeah,
but she's not to my, like, when's our next lesson?
Yeah. I said to mine, like, do you want me to teach you some stuff? Like, do you want to learn? She was like, no, I've got no interest.
Exactly. Which, you know, just makes no sense to me. But I guess there are people in this world who really just don't have interest in jiu-jitsu, which makes no sense. I know. But, it's one of those things.
Oh, you guys are, I mean, I'm going to have to be happy with Jeff here. So, you know, you should be grateful for now.
Yeah. Well, and my girlfriend also told me that she knows how to fight already, so she doesn't need jiu-jitsu.
So, wow.
I know. She's like, I could beat you up if I wanted to, which I believe. I do believe that. But
my girlfriend, I've wrestled a couple of times with my girlfriend, and she fights pure dirty. Like, nasty. Pinching, biting, scratching. Yeah.
Good.
That's like a long-winded way to say she beats me up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we know what that means. Oh, man. So, yeah, that's tough. That's definitely really tough. Ollie, I know you had a few tricks up your sleeve for this podcast. Is it too early to get into those tricks?
Let's get into it. All right, so Nabs, we might have to cut this bit if it doesn't work, but we're just going to roll with it and see what happens. Okay, so... I had the idea that we should try and have a bit of fun on this podcast. Okay. So I thought it would be a good idea for us three to break down and analyze some of our old competition.
Oh, I think that sounds great. That sounds very cringy and very great at the same time.
Eeky space, man. Okay. So in the spirit of goodwill, I am going to go first.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I have picked for us my very first ever jiu-jitsu fight in a tournament.
Ooh, so good. So
let me see if I can share my screen with you. Okay. Can you guys see that?
We can.
Sure can. Looks like Grappling Industries to me.
Spot spot on, my friend. This is Wrapping Industries Tournament. Okay, so to give you guys a little bit of context, I had been training for just over a year and maybe like a couple of months. And Eki and I, with like, I imagine with no real prior thought or like any real planning, we're like, let's go and enter our first competition together. So we signed up to Grappling
Industry. I did the same tournament. And to give the day after, which was Nogi. Yeah. And I was actually on the mat that's to the left diagonal of the mat that you're about to walk onto.
Fun fact. Ah, there you go. There you go. So to give you guys an idea of like how unprepared I was for this tournament, I didn't even know like how to achieve 3 points for passing the guard. Like I wasn't even sure like really what passing the guard was or like what it got you in a competition. I was purely going into this like, I've sparred a few times, let's go have a crack at it and see how we get on. So without further ado, are we ready?
We're ready.
Yeah. All right, okay, let's go. So here I am on the left, Eye of the Tiger, and away we go. So just like any good white belt fight, we dance around for a good long time.
Oh yeah.
So mess about trying to make grips.
Yeah, was there? Do you think there was any thought in your mind as to like what kind of grips you wanted?
Dude. Absolutely no idea in my mind what I was doing.
Wait,
or what, like my
what was your division at the time? What was your division at the time?
So I was 88 and below.
Okay.
So this was middle. So yeah, we're just like doing our thing. But nah, John, at this point, like I was having a proper out of body experience where like I knew that I was in a jiu-jitsu fight, but I had no real like conscious thought of what I was doing. I had no plan to take down, pull guard. It was all just like hang on for dear life and hope for the best. And
the guy looks a little bigger than you. Is that possible?
Yeah, he was. And he was actually relatively strong. So look, pull guard, I do nothing about it and get pulled into close guard, which is, great. And then I do remember at this point being like, it's okay, man. Like, you know how to open close guard, like keep your posture and make the grips and then up we go. But like in reality, none of it was translating at all.
Yeah.
And what you will see here is I go up, he hooks a leg, I do nothing about it. And then, we're down and into mount. So this guy just scored 6 points on me. We stay here for a little while.
Lovely.
Again, no idea what mount defense was. Like, I'm just trying to basically not get choked out at this point. And he does go for a choke in a minute. But what I did actually start to think was, like, I wonder if, because I remember thinking his hips quite high, and I remember thinking like, I wonder if I can bump this guy. And although I've muted it, Eki, you're the guy actually recording and you're screaming to me, like literally screaming, Ollie, bump him, he has no base. And like you're just continuously screaming this at me, and I'm like, well yeah, like fair enough, but he's also got like a fairly good grip, he's about to choke.
I love whoever's filming this is like, all right, now's the time, I'm gonna zoom in.
Oh, that was Eki. Yeah. Eki, let's get some camera angles here. Like, let's get in tight. But yeah, like obviously he's got this deep cross collar grip on me, and he's looking for that choke. Then there, woo, guys, wow. Let's replay that. Because this is Eki is like, bump him. So I'm like, yes, bam, done. And just so you guys know, I've never, ever been able to do that ever again in any of my jiu-jitsu. I've never been able to trap and roll.
That's amazing. So so pause the video there just for a second. So for our very, if there are any viewers who are not familiar with what just happened, Ollie somewhat intuitively recognized that because the guy was going for a cross collar choke from the mount, he had no base on his left side, and so he hip bumped to like a diagonal right for him and was able to unbalance the guy. He had nowhere to post with his left hand.
I mean, to be honest, looking at it, I actually think I got really lucky because I wasn't controlling his right arm. Like, I didn't really secure the role, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I think just because he was so committed to the cross collar that as I came over, I got away with it. And I do an okay job of pushing him over, but it's not like I really grabbed the arm, set it up, and then went for it. I don't even think I trapped his leg at all as well.
You're right. I think he overcommitted a bit.
And then the other thing I remember vividly from this fight was like, I'm now really scared of trying to open this guy's closed guard in case I get swept into mount again.
And the unfortunate thing is you didn't get any points for that reversal because it was just a reversal, not a sweep.
Yeah, his leg wasn't trapped, so it wasn't like going from half guard and sweeping him. But I basically doing like a really stupid thing here and trying to just pass open on my knees. Mm-hmm. But I am very, very scared of standing up at this point. And I think we stay here for an awfully long time. So what's actually interesting here is he's getting warnings from the ref because he keeps sticking his four fingers inside my gi.
His hand inside.
And in the later fights, the ref actually stopped one fight and said, like, if you do that again, I'm going to DQ you. Mm-hmm. And then in a separate fight, he actually did get DQ'd for knee reaping.
Mm.
That's the kind of level we're talking about here, boys.
Yep.
high quality white belt stuff. And I mean, looking at this, like, my head is so far over, like, I'm leaning into him. I'm keeping the elbows and doing an okay job, but not good stuff. Not good stuff.
It's good to watch these things every once in a while.
It is. The problem with them, though, is like most white belt fights end up in this position, right? Where you're either in someone's closed guard or have them in your closed
guard. To sweep
you
as well or to get anything going as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where in the fight, it's like really intense because any one mistake could completely turn the tide, but man, doesn't make for the best watching. Oh, so actually, what's really hilarious is about a week before I entered this tournament, some guy, some blue belt, he kept hitting me with a bump sweep mm-hmm. and he hit me so many times with it, he showed me the defense, mm-hmm. which was if someone goes for the bump sweep, basically posture up as much as you can and push your hips into them.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think I got away with it. Like, I think I just basically keep like pushing into him. Right, now, this is great. This is absolutely great. So at this point, if we had the sound on, you would have Iki screaming, pass, Ollie, pass, you need to pass. And during the match, I remember thinking to myself, like, what does he mean, pass? Of course, it's because he's get this leg out and we all know what passing the guard is, but that's how underprepared I was, man. Yeah. And then I jumped back into his closed guard.
It's funny because it's also like a strategic understanding. I think sometimes at white belt, maybe people don't understand, like, especially the guy on bottom in the black gi, he didn't need to be so aggressive. Like, he didn't need to open his guard by any means. Yeah. You know, yeah. He's up six at this point.
I was passed as well. Like, if I'd have just cross-faced, secured, but instead I literally jumped back into his guard.
Yeah, but
and that's the end of the match.
Bummer. Hey, and so that was your first one, you said?
My first ever fight, yeah, in a competition.
Nice. Man, and how were you feeling at this point?
Pretty tired.
At this point, honestly, so tired. And it was one of those ones as well where it was like, I know what just happened, but I wasn't present, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was like I was watching myself do it. And I walked off the mat thinking like, that was one of the most surreal experiences, but I was just not present or conscious in
100%.
Any of that.
How was the breathing?
Terrible, yeah. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And my grips were gone, which is weird because I didn't have any grips in that match. Like, I didn't make any grips, and yet my forearms were still just completely.
I remember my first couple tournaments. Like, after each match, I couldn't open my hands, like, uh-huh. because I was so.
Yeah. So, terrible.
Cool. Should we?
How do you think that was? Should we do another one?
I'm down. We could do one of my losing matches.
Well, John, I have one of you winning and one of you losing. Which do you think we should do? I've got All Stars. And I've got, I think, is it Grappling Industries?
Yes. All Stars is me losing. So why don't we each do a losing match?
Okay.
Yeah. And then we can do a winning match. I actually like this match. Even though I lost and the camera work is pretty shitty, I'll still try to walk through what was happening. I lost, but it was cool. It was a cool match. And lots of things that I can point out that were big mistakes.
Cool. Okay.
So All-Stars, this is the bronze medal match, which I was devastated for losing this one. I just wanted some hardware. This is adult blue belt lightweight bronze medal All-Stars.
Was the hug necessary? did we need that in our lives?
Well, you know, sometimes like at the bottom of the screen, it'll say the category. Oh, okay, never mind. All right, let's go. So this was the first match that I had that day that the other guy potentially would have pulled guard. So let's pause there.
Okay.
Let's actually go back to the guard pull. And I'll talk about, as you can see right there, it's fine. I was going to put my foot on the hip and he kind of like brought his right knee in a little bit and it just completely off-centered my my left foot going into his hip. As left hand on my right pant. So he knew it was coming, which really well done on his part. And completely threw me off. But as you'll see, which I'm kind of happy about, was that I immediately throw my right leg over and around his right leg.
So it's coming.
You'll see
down.
In a second.
There.
So and you make it work. And underhooking with my left arm. It's a pretty hard angle to see. But so let's just play that one last time, if you don't mind, because I think it's a cool detail for people to see. I completely failed at it. It sucked. But this is referred to as the Matrix. If I pull this move off, it's a back take, a potential back take. So I underhook with my left hand and throw that right leg over, hoping to clamp down on his right calf. Went completely wrong. And he starts to pass. As you can see here. So, pause, please. Pause. Yeah, perfect pause, actually. So, right there is good. So, now he's past my guard, but I knew I needed to move, like, really quickly so that he couldn't secure the points. So, what I start to do is, as he's securing the position, I kind of off-balance him with my left arm, bringing him to the camera, so that he pushes away from me and I start to frame and try to get my guard back. Let's play and see it.
Hopefully. Let me see if I can play it from here.
So
you push him away and then he comes back and then you
frame
and then you come in.
Try to bring it in. Yeah. That's what I like to do a lot, like the action reaction. He goes knee on belly.
Get off. Nice.
But I'm framing. And where
you cover close.
I get the full guard. Yeah.
Nice, man.
So that was a cool like guard retention technique when it shit has gotten really bad, is the idea of like almost throwing the Hail Mary to one side and then bringing yourself back in and framing.
Now, had you been working that? Is that something you'd been drilling?
It's something I've been using a long time, and it does work, especially if the guy's of similar size.
Yeah.
So
now, John, here you're doing something which I really like. Which is wrapping your arm over the elbow, clamping it to your body. And then I love to feed my arm through and like grab his cross collar lapel.
Totally.
That's just, Galinio taught me that one. And I just, that's like my go-to. If I could manage to get that, like, it's happy working from there for sure.
Really good. And I love that position too. I actually think you're much better at that position than I am, but I've been trying to use it myself. But he did something really interesting. As you can see, he steps up with his right foot, which kind of blocks my hip. You'll see, I think he did it again. Maybe not. Okay. So, but then I start to
see this position here, John. This is something that like infuriates me, because my go-to sweep is a scissor sweep, and as soon as this knee comes up, it just gives me all sorts of trouble. And I think it's basically the defense where you can't do anything from it, but I hate it.
Yeah. So what I should have done, in my humble opinion, you've got two options. If I estimate this correctly, with my right foot, I should have lassoed. So I should have brought my right foot over and onto his shoulder, some type of lasso frame. If you can imagine that.
Yeah.
Or hip escape a bit, bring my right leg in a shin to shin, and kick out, which will completely collapse his base and then bring me back into a closed guard. Can you imagine that?
I can. Mm. But what does happen? Should we find out?
I don't remember. Let's find out.
So you tried it. So to be fair to John, you tried it. You kind of push him away, right? Like you bring the knee in, you push him back, you try and get into the
Cool. So,
ooh, nice.
In a Gramby style guard retention, let's play that one more time if you don't mind, because me locking up the triangle is kind of important in this.
Okay, so we're going to play from here. So he looks like he's aggressively trying to push back into you and trying to pass, to which you do a Gramby style roll, and we end up with a triangle.
Yeah.
So he pushes in. You come up, nice.
And it was actually Josh who was filming and watching this match, and he starts screaming, triangle, triangle. And because, I don't know, I just wasn't thinking of it too much. But anyway, the angle is decent. He's gurgling a bit. So I'm like, all right, this is awesome. We're gonna get this. He was stacking me really hard, and I'm not going to say it was fully locked, but he was definitely losing breath big time. But as you can see, he steps out with his left foot. The ref sees it and restarts us in the middle. Now, under those circumstances, which you guys probably know, if a submission is locked up and you go out of bounds, I get 2 points, but they still restart us on our feet.
You can see that here, right? Like, he's got 2 points back here. You've got 2 points. Points. He's got his 5, and I'm guessing the reason you got restarted is because the judge didn't see it as him deliberately going out of bounds to a submission.
Cool. And I think I pulled another shit guard pull. That's another
Some things never change, Joe.
I know. Well, I think you know, it's like one thing that I am still really working on is to just slow it down. Like, it's not about guard, maybe waiting for the right time, not just, oh, I'm gonna make my grips and pull immediately, because when you do that, I think you get sloppy, and as you saw in this match, I got sloppy twice. So
he's like, at this point were you like aware that you were so like 3 points behind, and you were you like, oh, I gotta get him on points?
At this point, I was exhausted because I gave my legs felt like jello, because with that triangle, I was squeezing with everything I had, because I was so sure that, like, this is it. I'm gonna put him out. I actually thought I was gonna put him to sleep. I was so impressed with his ability to say, I'm not gonna tap. Like, he 100%, this kid, this Gracie Baja guy, would have gone to sleep for sure. No doubt. Because like he was like in the triangle. And another thing I learned from this match was, like, when you have something locked on, the idea of like constant steady pressure rather than just like bursts of, because when I stood up here, I had nothing left. Like, I just wanted it to be over. Cool.
Should we hit play?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, see, he timed it again. Did you see that? He just shot his left knee through.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. That was actually pretty cool on his part.
Inside. Yeah, so he's even looking for it, right? And then we just see him come through, and he takes, I guess, this half guard.
Well done on his part. But Iki, you I like my half guard here. I thought it was pretty decent, if I remember this match correctly.
So you've got a
good I'm fighting for the underdog right? style. Yeah, decent. I'm on my side. Look, I start to – do you see me bump him forward a bit?
And what are you thinking here, John? Like, what are you going for? Are you going for this deep half, I guess?
Yeah, I swung for deep half there. His kneecap was free. But, yeah, look, that was cool. So, pause there. I like I said, I like this match because even though I didn't win, I think there was a lot of, like, cool techniques. So, right there, we're in deep half. I transition from deep half into single leg X. So if you play deep half, he bases up a bit. So that gives me the space to bring my legs through into single leg X, which realistically should have been X guard. I should have just gone straight X because he starts to pressure again.
Okay.
And now some weird scramble.
He comes out. Now, John, do you think a lot of this had to do with your stamina? Because to me there, it does seem like I've seen you do way better than that. And I think, honestly, that just looks down to like to
100%. I mean, look at me. Like, I look on the verge of death.
And then he's out. And then do you see your left knee there where it was like wasn't coming up?
Yeah.
So then we're into this position. Okay.
So, yeah, whenever I started to turtle, he would get a really good collar like inside collar grip, always like threatening the choke every time. As soon as I would turtle, you'll see. I thought he was going to rip my arm off here.
Yeah, so this seems like this could have nearly been a submission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not enjoying that.
No, definitely one bit. But I did feel like I could roll out of it, and I think you'll see me attempt. Yeah, see, I start to try to Granby again.
So it's interesting that you're thinking about a Granby because, Ike, I don't know what you'd be thinking there, but for me, I'd be looking for that single leg.
Oh, so I tried to sit out there. Did you see?
I did. Let's bring it back.
And so we're here. And you'll also see I do start to try single leg. Double leg.
I think I'll try to get up because I'd be so tired that I don't know if I'd want to engage with a single leg. I think I'd reach for his belt. Stretch my hand on his belt.
Watch it, bro. Watch it.
And slowly get up and disengage
it. So let's bring that back just to hear. So, John, I've just seen the time, and I think it's like 2:48 left of your match.
Yeah.
And this just makes me feel tired. Like when some guy's spawning on you, and you're going for that, and then he's got your neck, and then like he pulls you back down. Like, oh.
But like I tried there. Oh, he got me.
So what happened?
The whole time he had a grip on my collar. Ooh. And he looked. It's really hard to see, and it was pretty confusing. But so
he's got a cross here.
Yeah. See it there. Yeah.
And then
it was like a clock choke type deal. It was a mixture of pure exhaustion plus a clock
with
choke
the
pressure.
Knee, with the knee on the neck as well.
Yeah.
Oh. I know what you mean though, man. Like you lost it, but like you said.
Yeah, I was happy with that match. I was gutted because like that was a bronze medal match at least. And I think it would have been competitive maybe on another day. Like I'd love different circumstances. I think it would.
You calling him out, John?
I'm calling him out. Yeah, if you're listening to this podcast, guy, you come see me. Pull up. Let's run it back.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
How are we doing for time?
I don't know. Are we on a time limit? Is it bedtime?
I think we are. You know, I've got.
You got mine.
You know, I've got a good. I've got yours, Ike.
Oh, sure.
Let's got yours. Go.
Oh. But so in this one, Ike, I actually don't. The only one I have of you losing is the final for the London Open, and I feel like that, like Louise said, that guy got you with just some of the sneakiest stuff that I feel like.
But I think I think we can watch it, but it's also good because I think two things. First is sometimes I'm so committed to putting more pressure and moving forward. And this time I was so sure that nobody's catching me on the kimura. That's the only thing I was thinking of that I forgot about my neck, you know? So, I mean, it's like, it works out and it was good. Like I liked it a lot. First thing I did on Monday after that, I was trying to catch people passing my guard with the same move.
Okay. Well, I've got it here. Let's watch that one. But then what I think it'd be kind of useful to do is to watch one of your earlier fights at the London Open, where you won, but there was a lot of back and forth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so let's watch the one where you get caught. You're a good sport for doing this as well, man, because if people don't know, they're about to see what happened.
No, but I really like that fight. Hang on.
Yeah, it was a good one. Okay. Right, we're ready. Here it is. Okay, you guys see that?
Oh, cool angle on this one.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so this was Dana. Yeah. She shot this, and she was up in the bleachers. So, bro, I'm just going to let it run, and then you let me know if you want me to stop. But I kind of feel like it speaks for itself. That's what you do.
So it starts, and I thought you was going to pull guard, so I pulled first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then...
This. I mean, this is just... this is critical, right? This is crucial.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This is a cool angle. Like, because I saw it from the sidelines. I didn't see him pull the lapel out.
Did you not? So I saw him pull it out. And I remember thinking at this point, he's pulled out the lapel, but it's worthless because Iki is now inside control, putting Iki's pressure on him. Like, this is only going to go wrong one way.
I'm still calm here.
Yeah. And then
it starts choking me. And I think that it's not... That, like, as long as I keep going further, like, I thought that as long as I keep...
No, stop recording.
You know, it's funny. Okay. I actually didn't know I passed out like that. Because when they woke me up, I was like, no, I didn't lose. And I was arguing with the ref, like, no. Like, why did we stop? And it's like, oh, no, it's over.
That's so crazy. So
that was really fast.
Because this is you.
When did he take
out
the lapel?
Like, so you make your grip, you pull him into basically you don't always, but you go for the collar drag where you want to secure the takedown. And if it messes up, then you end in half guard.
Yeah.
And then you're just happy here. Like this is where you chill.
Yeah.
But then he deliberately comes down and he starts to fish your lapel there.
Yes.
So he wants this, right? Yeah. Like I think afterwards when we were chatting, he was saying, yeah, I've been drilling this a lot. Like,
if you notice, he doesn't even resist my sweep. I didn't necessarily finish. I didn't even need to. I just almost turned around and I swept him.
Bro, like, I would go as far as to say I actually think he set it up. Like,
yeah.
So watch and let me know what you think. Like, he grabs the lapel and then I think he sits back into it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he felt okay with
it. He didn't resist. Let's put it that way.
He didn't resist the sweep. As soon as he had the lapel, I think he was confident about whatever was coming.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
You go. And then kind of, I mean, yeah. This is his thing, right? He was just so chill with it.
Yeah. So now I'm passing, right?
Honestly, at this point, when I see you in side control and I see, you see how your shoulder there is pressing into his face. When I see you in this position, I'm just like, okay, like this guy is in for a world of trouble, a world from hurt. And I remember vividly thinking this is only going one way. And then he has that grip. He makes the changeover. You're doing a good job of fighting the arm. And then I think if the ref wasn't in the way, this is where he comes out and then.
So So he told the ref that I passed out. The ref didn't even notice.
Yeah. Do you remember at this point thinking like he's choking me? Like this is bad?
Yes. So like you see like when his hand is like stretched, if you notice like I backed away a little bit as well from the choke. And I thought then sort of like now I can go back in. But yeah, like and after that, that's like when they woke me up. So he says like even the ref didn't notice. He was the one who told the ref.
Man, so quick.
Yeah, that's tough.
Hey, man.
Fair play.
Part of the game.
You got to roll the dice.
Part of the game. I think it's like it's a risk that I didn't know about pressure passing because that pass, it's so slow. And I'm not worried about speeding it up. That in many ways it leaves time for the other guy to think of something sneaky.
Yeah.
What I mean? Like I could have stayed in half guard forever and I'm not worried about it, doesn't have to happen fast. But like if someone has something that I don't have, they also have the time to do something. Yeah.
Potentially also like, you know, being aware of any grips, like breaking any and all grips. Cause I mean, I guess the lapel grip that was just so sneaky. I don't even know.
Yeah, man.
I mean, we've never seen it, but now we know. It's like it was very good. Like all credits to him, very good.
Yeah, and he said afterwards, like he'd been drilling that loads and like getting away with it. And he said that in the match, he felt as if it had just kind of like it was there, so he was just going to take it. Yeah. Now, obviously, he went and he set it up, but you know, you did sweep him. You got your 2 points, and I think at that point. He kind of thought, it's available, why not go for it? Yeah. And then if you don't know, right, like if you are not prepared for that, if you haven't seen it before, then it ends that way, I guess.
Yeah, it turns out. It's like clean, like you won.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
Lovely.
All right, Ollie, should we look at a winning match?
Let's look at a winning match. So, Iki, I can't remember which one of yours this is. I think it may have been either your second or your third. So it's this one here. And the reason I really like...
second.
Your second?
Yeah.
And so the reason I think this is good is... it's go on. What are you going to say?
No, I think the reason why I think this is good is because I lost a lot of very dominant positions.
Yeah.
And it's something that like I'm still beating myself over. It's like how, like why, like I shouldn't have.
Yeah, and I think as well, I reckon this is why coach before we went into isolation was drilling the pass from their half guard because it comes a lot in this fight. So let's get into it. So he makes his grips, and he shoots the collar drag. Oh. Boom.
That's my head in the back there.
It is. And I mean, if you had sound on right now, you would just be hearing the funniest narration from coach. Okay, so here.
Yep.
So
go back.
You're trying to secure
before
the takedown. Before here, yeah?
Here. Here, after securing the takedown, I'm trying to go to north-south, right? Pressure.
If I may.
Go ahead.
I think that was a mistake. I feel like instead of going over his head, you should have cross-faced him and flattened him out.
Mm.
You see what I mean? So instead of going over...
My hand should have gone under his face.
I think, right? Like, I don't know... but I feel like if you could have gone around and controlled his face and twisted his head, you could have flattened him out and then that would have allowed you to come around better.
Maybe. I mean, again, just my opinion, maybe. It seems like he was starting to bring his bottom knee in. Am I wrong, Iki, or no?
His knee's in.
Yeah, so I think a good way to counter bringing the knee in is to go to north-south, but it's all situational. One
thing on the north-south is, so you know like how... Bernardo Faria always talks about putting pressure by keeping all your weight in one point of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you're hitting it in a diagonal. The problem is my legs are not stable. So I'm putting all my weight on my shoulder and I'm not focusing on making sure that my legs are like a good, like tripod. Cause it's like you work like a sort of, it's like a tripod with three legs. The weight is on your shoulder and then your legs, as even though your body's kind of twisted, your legs still have to be very strong and stable. And yeah. That was it. A perfect example of doing it wrong.
Well, it's interesting, man, because if I basically pause it just before you get, I don't think it's a sweep, right? Because it's not, he hasn't established a guard, but he reverses you.
And I
think what's key here, right, is he has a grip on your pant leg, but more importantly, I think, is he has this grip on your belt.
Yeah.
And if we hit play, yeah, we're over.
But then my leg, my right leg was also like not, how do you say it? Maybe I should have opened it more so that
to make it's more almost of a tripod.
Work as a, yeah, it would make more of a base. Because my
so legs it's interesting, were, right? So John Danaher talks about the fact that if you're side onto him, so like your head is pushing onto the side of him, then it's hard for him to sweep you, right? But the more you line up with his body, the easier it is to topple you. And true. I think what's interesting here is, yeah, if you look where your knee is, your legs aren't out, that they're not creating that base like you're talking about.
And my hips could have been down first on his face.
Yeah,
early.
Man. Yeah.
So that he wouldn't have, like, so that this grip on my pant wouldn't make a difference because you'd be trying to take the weight out of his face.
Another alternative option could have been, like, if you rewind to as soon as the pass started going, he was like truly committing into, if you go back, like at this point, maybe even like right there, as he's trying to bring his legs into you, he's like really low on his side. He's not really using his top leg as a really good like guard retention frame. He's not really swinging the top leg in. You could have jumped over the legs and gone to the back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of continuing to go north-south, you could have gone the other way on the clock, jumped over his legs, and gone to his back.
Yeah, and my knees shouldn't have been on the floor as well. I think they were on the floor for too long. But cool. Like, let's continue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's doing a really nice job there of getting his hips low. I would say... And he's on his toes as well. Did you
still
feel
has that belt
point,
grip?
So
he
now
does,
I'm
yeah.
for his belt, and I'm trying to get on my knees.
There we go. I mean,
and then I recover guard.
I'm gonna level with you, man. When you pull this stuff off, it's the most annoying thing. When you sprawl out and then you come up and you fish that leg, it's so annoying. And then we're just let's
yeah. That's
let's
so nice. Some,
let's watch some beautiful half.
Yeah.
You made that look easy, man.
Yeah.
People are clapping. People are like, let's just roll that back. Let's just roll that back. People are actually clapping. So we're here, underhook. You come up. Yeah, man. So nice. Look at that. Danny is clapping you. Beautiful.
Remember we were drilling this on Thursday before the he was saying like feel the momentum, don't fight it. So if you can't go under, just on.
Yeah. Nice. So what's really interesting, and this is why I remember when we came off the mats and we were chatting, I remember saying to you, like, we need to figure out why it was so back and forth. And then literally the following week, coach for like the next 2 weeks afterwards was drilling this position, right? And if you remember, he was saying that it's not wrong to have your head up here, like to be pushed up at the top. But what you do need to be careful about is basically where your left leg is now. Again, you're really in line with the guy, which makes it easy to roll over. So when we've been doing it, this left leg has basically been like really far out as a base, really low so we can't fish. And then the body is pushing onto the side. And I think coach was basically doing that because of this match.
Totally. And also, we can keep playing, but it's like the other guy, his spine is in perfect alignment at this point. Like if you're have an underhook with your, in this case, Iki's left arm on the guy, he can pull his spine out of alignment, which makes it very hard for him to bridge.
Yeah. So go what we see here as well, man, is like, so he, your knee coming in is like, okay. And then he slowly opens his legs, right? And you're out, right? Like, and I was thinking like, amazing, secure side control. And then you come over and then he's, you see, he's, but he's
go,
in. He's
go
in.
Back a little bit. That makes a lot of sense why it was easy for him to do. Look at my leg, my left leg.
Yeah.
It's like I have zero base. So it's
almost like you're lying on, almost like you're lying on top of him.
Yeah. And also like, as soon, it's like this leg was, should have been sprawling more. Right now, at this point, first I should have freed my knee properly.
And well, only before that, bro, before that, control his left leg so that he can't hip escape. Because what he does is he does what coach says, which is the gamble, right? Mm. If you open your legs to hip escape, you can allow the guy to take his leg out and then just pass. But
and this leg,
you see how you're not controlling the leg? So he comes out, he hip escapes, and then he elevates over and he gets the points.
And then my head also was still very high. So he could, it's like, you know, like he could still push it in a way.
Yeah. And like all white belt fights, we end up in a good clothes guard. Nice control of the posture.
The funny thing is, I don't think he scored a single point on you at this point, has he?
So he just got two for that, but up until then, I don't think he.
Oh, right. Yeah, he was in half guard.
At this point, man, I was thinking, man, please get your sneaky armbar. So that was nice, man. Like I know you nearly gave up the past. But what I do like is something that I've noticed we do a lot more now is turtling to try and protect the points. So he comes over and then you're straight up. And then he seems like he's overcommitted.
I mean, I was watching after my arm that does nothing.
Okay, so that's interesting. So I think, there you go. Coach saying there, you should have got the two, right? So he's come over to try and take your back. He's fallen over. You've done a good job, I guess, of defending him.
He missed it.
So now this is what Coach is saying. I think that he thinks should have counted as a two. But then nice pressure in for a three. He's saying advantage. Can't give the points after that. And then you get the three. Do you see what I mean by the fact that this is like, you won this match and that's great. However, there was like loads to learn from it.
Yeah.
Even there, like,
yeah.
Overcompensating a bit.
Just overcommitting just slightly, right? And the hips are quite high. So then you nearly get a little whoop.
Yeah. If we were not the same weight, he would have made, like if he was heavier than me, maybe he would have swept me.
Yeah. But he's, I mean, yeah, now we're talking. So there as well, man, like you see how your hips are quite high up.
So like I think this is around the time, like, for example, so here's a few things that I noticed that I've been trying to do solo just to improve my pressure in here. You see, like, how I'm almost like a tripod kind of thing.
Yeah.
My hips can still be a little bit more twisted. So there is slightly more weight on this shoulder, but my legs are still wide open. And it's like, I move way less and my hip actually goes slightly higher. I mean, this is good. Like I still felt pressure and stuff, but I can still improve on this pressure here.
I think so, man. And to me, it looks like the pressure is coming down more to his far shoulder, like his face, whereas it could be going towards the near side shoulder, into his near side face, and then through his chest as well.
And his jaw as well. Like, because here, like, I had my shoulder closer on his jaw. So if I had it on his jaw, this leg would have just dropped. He wouldn't even, he wouldn't even been thinking about the bottom side of the body.
But I mean, you're doing a good job of controlling the near side hit, right? Like, I wouldn't want this guy in this face. But then look, man, like, yeah. Oh, and then back again.
Yeah.
So let's watch that back, man. So we've got you with the pressure on top. He does a good thing of bumping.
Because I'm almost falling already.
Yeah. Back again. And then come over. I think he's got you back to his half, right?
No. Not yet. Oh, yeah. You got it.
And then I think that's his sweep, right? Two for the sweep.
So.
Ooh.
So here I'm just trying to climb my legs higher and higher.
Nice job keeping that base open.
Yeah.
Do you sweep him again from here?
I don't remember, man. It's like the first time I'm watching this fight in months.
This is really interesting. Like, yeah, man. And then we're up again. Oh, just hit the...
Yeah. Then I went the other way. This is something like I was really happy about, because for the longest I've been insisting on the sweep that I have. Like, if I have that sweep, I go for that. And this time I didn't go. This is when I was about to start going for the sweep, for the pass that Luis was showing us. And he was like, forget that. Just keep the pressure. Forget trying to do a beautiful pass.
Nice, man. Nice. So what's he saying to you at this point? Like, you're thinking of going for the pass, and at this point he's just saying like, no.
Yeah, he's like, no. Just keep pressure.
Nice. Yeah, it's how straight you are on top of him.
Mm, bad.
Oh, Jonathan.
Hello.
Ah, and there we are. A victory for Iki.
Nice. That good tournament was crazy.
It was a bit mental, wasn't it?
Yeah. Cool, guys. We're actually at the 1 hour mark. I don't know if that makes a difference, but...
Did we all enjoy analyzing our videos?
I thought it was great. I'd love to hear from our listeners, and hopefully...
Are we done?
Well, I don't know if we're done, but it's an hour. So it's like, do we want to save some for the next episode, or do we want to keep going through the other matches? What do you guys think?
Save some. I feel like we've just done one apiece, and we should should wrap it up there.
Okay, yeah. Cool. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We hope that was a fun and informative episode.
One second, just like as a throwback. Hey, John, can you teach us something in Portuguese you've learned recently?
Sure. Let me think. Faixa branca não tem técnica, só violência.
Wow.
Would you like to translate that?
White belts don't have any technique, just violence.
That's what
I learned. The truth.
Yeah, cool, guys. Everyone who's listening and hopefully watching this, please leave a comment. Let us know what you thought about this format. If you enjoyed us analyzing our matches, we've got plenty more good ones and embarrassing ones. You let us know which ones you preferred. Any closing comments, Iki or Ollie?
Nah, man. Stay positive. Stay happy. Keep smiling.
Yep. keep training.
Wish you the best.
Keep training.
With Jeff.
No matter the space, no matter the partner, just keep training. Cool.
Boos. Thanks, guys.